Welcome to another episode of New Level Studio Productions Podcast.
Just want to go ahead. Fine episode.
It is another fine episode. Ah, and the refreshments have begun. So I just want to go ahead and, not really sure apologize would be a good word because I, you know, me and Phil both openly hate all of our listeners, but it has been a while. We essentially missed a month of podcasting, and we know that all of our loyal listeners who look forward to this every single month is their only out for all of life. You know, if anyone has committed suicide due to this, we take full credit for that.
We take full responsibility.
We probably only helped you because if this was the only thing that was keeping you hanging on, it probably wasn't worth it.
I feel like there's a very good section of the general American populace that uses our podcast as their one and only source of information / entertainment.
Wow. Well, that section of the populace should not reproduce.
Yeah, well, still... I feel like we're their number one source of entertainment news. We're like E! News Nightly, except for every 6 weekly.
Every 6 weekly?
Yeah.
We are the every 6 weekly crew. Anyway.
With the bullshit news that nobody cares about, nobody wants to hear.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
Your life would probably be better if you didn't listen to the news that we brought up on this podcast, honestly. But as you can tell already, I'm sure, so tonight...
Flying solo again.
Yeah.
Well, actually not solo because you're here, but that's not going to stop me from fapping.
That's true.
The lights are all turned down. Oh, yeah. That's not going to slow me down one bit.
On. Yeah. We have our new level studio mascots making small woodland creature noises.
They are, man. They're weird. They're the size of a beer can, and the cage they live in is the size of, like, a beer truck that delivers.
It's true.
It's ridiculous.
They are the size of a beer can, and it's probably, like, a keg and a half is the size of their cage. But they dig it, man. They're supposed to get huge. They're guinea pigs, by the way. Melissa and I both got guinea pigs.
Oh, yeah.
Insert jokes here.
We have to put some of them on the Facebook so that people know who the mascots are.
It's true.
Pictures and whatnot and all that shit.
As always, our lovely studio head, Melissa, is sitting in on this session. She should be capturing media for our fine online production
suite. Because, I mean, after all, it is the 90s. So, I mean, you can't just have, you know, you need pictures and movies and all that. I mean, we got to get with the new age.
It's true.
You know,
it's
all true. The young kids, you know,
the
with all
webs.
The twattering and all that shit. We need to get on top of that, man.
It's true.
It's a completely untapped market,
well,
I think.
I think so. I mean... Melissa has started a news group for us that can be found via pbs.org/newsgroups if you use Netscape.
I like that.
That's what
does
we're
that work with
into.
AOL?
It doesn't, unfortunately.
Fuck,
AOL
really?
Blocks it. Yeah, the content on there is a little bit too racy for AOL's liking.
But I just got a new deal with AOL. It's only like 50 cents an hour now.
The only thing that I can say is this.
See, because I'm a lifetime subscriber, so they give me like deals. Like,
dude,
you wouldn't believe the deals
they
give
me. That
must
be the way it is, because I have noticed that the general consensus and the mass population, whenever I see an email address at AOL.com, I can almost guarantee you the individual who has that is over the age of 50.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been my experience, too, just in my line of work, talking with people that have email addresses, because that's what I do for money. Is I talk to people that have email addresses.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is. And they fucking actually pay me for it. That's the even crazier part.
Oh, I like that.
And I'm like, hey, how's it going? This is Phil. What's your email address? And every single one has a fucking email address. You believe that shit?
I do. Actually, I do.
Well, I guess it is.
I find it significantly harder to believe when I say, all right, so is there a best place for me to go ahead and send an email to? I don't have email.
Really?
Be like, well, that's actually a lie. At some point in your life, at this point, in 2013, you would have had to have created an email address.
Probably.
If you haven't, you wouldn't be contacting an establishment which is located on the internet and sells items through the internet.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's probably some people out there that still don't have email addresses. Like, I don't know who they are because, like, my grandparents are in their late 70s.
Email addresses.
And they still send me emails, yeah.
My 84-year-old grandmother sends me text messages and has an
text
email address.
Text messages?
Holy, and has an email address
she'll
and
be
frequently
fucking,
uses it.
She'll be twattering before you know it, man.
Dude, she already is.
Oh, yeah?
She has her own blog. Like, this shit is bananas.
Holy shit, man.
Life after 80, and it's just basically, man, she blogs it out. There's just twattering everywhere.
I bet she has one one of them fucking showers where it has a door that opens up on it.
Fuck no, like, man. I wish she did. I'd be all up in that hell shit. Yeah, I'd be like, dude, I want that.
Yeah, if you're your bathtub, you know what I'm talking about? The bathtub exactly with the door.
I can't think of the fucking name of it. In.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I thought of the name of it, I would have to immediately request a sponsorship from them.
They
for
say
the new
that
level
shit's
podcast.
For old people, and like, you know, if you're old and decrepit, I say that shit's for drunk people, man.
That shit is for
because,
every people.
Yeah. I mean, you know, why you gotta discriminate, big bathtub? You know? It's all big bathtub trying to keep the man down and fucking discriminate. Why can't everybody get bathtubs with doors on them? Yeah, man.
You dirty sons of bitches.
You like got big corporate America and big media and big, you know,
I mean,
big bathtub.
I honestly have to say, so in our apartment currently, we have...
You don't have a door on your bathtub, though.
But we could use one.
It's kind of disappointing.
So I'm 6'2", all right? So figuring any sort of me stepping out of the shower over any sort of, you know, bathtub edge onto the floor shouldn't be an issue. This shit is fucking precarious for me.
Oh, no.
And I can't even imagine how Melissa gets in and out of this thing without busting her ass every time.
I've
it's
seen
like
your
climbing
bathtub.
A mountain.
You could probably drop a deck in there and fucking skate it like a half pipe.
Probably fucking
it'd be
good.
Like a
it's
ball.
It's ridiculous.
Kick flips off the fucking sink and shit, son. It's good, man. I like it. It's a monster bathtub. It's like the one at the mansion, man.
Speaking
of
dropping
it.
Decks, I have a much more literal situation of that. So, me being the happy home dweller that I am, or soon to be home buyer, I got the IKEA catalog sent to me.
That's not for home buyers. That's for fucking apartment dwellers who like shitty formica
and
furniture.
So that's what I thought, right? And
that's what IKEA is. There is no.
So when you look at
that.
This shit and you look at the pictures of it, I don't understand who they're catering to, because for all intents and purposes, every single item and every single setup is in like some 800,000 square foot loft.
Really?
So I don't know who the fuck owns this type and then goes to shop at IKEA.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Those are the two dynamics there I will not understand out of this.
They're buying from the back room of IKEA.
It's
like you have
be.
To show up with like one yellow rose in your lapel and be like, I've come to
What's
talk to
password?
Charlie. And then they let you in the back room of IKEA where the real furniture is.
But dude, like I was fucking looking at that shit and they have like bamboo decking for your fucking so it comes in grids, which is I guess like a 2x2 grid of like a deck where it's just slatted bamboo
like, tied together.
No, I mean it's made out of bamboo wood, so think of like hardwood floors that
you know
are made out of bamboo.
How fucking easy it is to grow bamboo, man.
Well, no, I
you
know,
can grow an entire house
anyway,
in a week.
What that sounds awesome, but they were
that's how fast this
they
shit
were marketing
grows.
Fucking these tiles to put in your bathroom to make it like a raised area in your bathroom out of bamboo floor decking. And I'm like, all right, so let me think about this real quick. Who the fuck owns a bathroom big enough to put in enough room so that you actually need to contemplate whether or not you're going to put floor deck inside of your bathroom? The next image shows
those people
a fucking
are not
plant
buying
rack.
From IKEA.
That's what I'm saying. Because the next image shows a plant rack where there's like fucking 8 plants on it, each one in like 3-gallon fucking buckets all hanging off. And I'm like, who the fuck has enough room in their goddamn bathroom to be able to put fucking this many plants and still be able to move in the bathroom?
I can sit
and
on my,
shops at IKEA. That's
can,
what it all boils back down
I can,
to.
I can sit on my toilet and touch all 4 walls in my bathroom. Is this product correct for me?
No.
Is this product right for me?
Like, dude, if you were to put that in there, it would just literally be a grow room. Like, you just walk in, you wouldn't even be able to open up. You'd have to take the door off the hinges,
so
and
I gotta,
it would just be that.
I got to start with baby steps and just use the IKEA catalog.
Right.
And just, like, tape pictures of the furniture onto the walls around there.
Correct.
And that's
yeah.
what I'm working with.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I mean, some of them are laid out.
I need to go to the IKEA, like the ghetto IKEA. Yeah. You know, for like small apartments and shit.
That's
they got McDonald's, we got McDougal's.
They got IKEA,
we got IKEA.
IKEA.
You know,
yeah.
The ghetto fucking IKEA. Like, I just need a cardboard box or a picture of a nice shelf. You
right.
Know?
That's exactly what it is. It's pictures of fucking furniture. It's full size, though. Like, they use the 3D printers to print out the pictures.
Oh, see, I'd be happy with that, man.
Which is made of paper.
It's yeah, but
absolutely
like,
no utility.
So imagine if like
nice.
If you put in front of your toilet and the wall that's facing in front of your toilet, you put like a panorama of like some Star Wars type shit. You know, you could be like shitting in space. You know, I mean, like put some Star Wars, put
light
like some of them
shitting,
them glow in the dark fucking plastic stars and moons on the ceiling and turn the lights off.
Well, dude,
man.
I got a projector for Luke, not like a video projector, but like I forget the actual name of it because I know there is one, but
it's like the planetarium
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. And really? I got one of those for Luke for Christmas, for his first Christmas. And for the longest time, it was never used. And then all of a sudden, his mother, last time I visited, she was like, dude, I turned this shit on. It was fucking bananas. She was really? Like, I just wanted to, like, fucking, you know, hang out. And, like, because Luke was sleeping in her room for a while and shit.
Yeah.
So she had it in her room, and she put it on. She was like, dude, it covers the entire ceiling, and there are, like, random shooting stars that, like, fly across and shit
what?
Like that. There's,
that's
like, movement.
Legit.
There's, like, dude, I was like, this sounds
and this
really
is all
awesome.
For a little kid?
Yeah.
Or this is for common. The general populace of drunk people in America?
Well, it could be for anyone. Like, now I'm thinking about
just
getting
like,
one myself.
Yeah, just like bathtubs with doors are not for old people.
Exactly.
They're for drunk people.
See, I was thinking like, more so, I'm just going to fucking eat like half a pound of mushrooms, turn this motherfucker
and just turn
on,
the planetarium
and just be like,
on,
and that's game.
And go exploring, man.
And just have my brain just melted.
See, just I have to look
puddle.
At that. Because I've seen those in like magazines and
yeah.
shit, and they always look like real shitty. Like one just looks
well,
small.
Well, no,
because
I got like, I got the most legit one. Like, apparently yeah. he got one. He was given another one that was like a fucking plush turtle with holes where it just light poked out of it. And his mom was like, yeah, no, we've been using this one. I was like, you realize I bought him like a $250 top of the line one, so it makes it look baller. She was
yeah.
like, well, I know, but you know, we just haven't gotten around to using it. And then when I went up, she was like, dude, I used this shit. And holy fuck, like,
really?
I want one for my room now.
Damn.
I was like, dude, that's pretty fucking baller.
That's solid, man. You need a quadraphonic stereo with a vinyl record player.
That's going to be once he's like 17.
Yeah, and then the original fucking Dark Side of the Moon vinyl, and then put that shit on the ceiling and just lay in the middle of the room with all four speakers pointed at your skull.
See, this is what I'm going to do to Luke, like, if I ever catch him smoking weed. You know, like how some parents are like, well, if I ever catch you smoking cigarettes, I'm going to make you smoke a whole pack. I'm going to do like the Super Troopers to fucking Luke. If I ever catch him smoking weed, I'm going to sit him down with like a half ounce and be like, you're going to sit in this room, listen to these records through quadraphonic sound with these fucking visualizations going
yeah,
on. You ain't going to leave.
That's not a deterrent, though. He would just be like, this is the most awesome thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Or he'll walk out of the room shaking, being like, I don't even want to do this again.
No, man. That's, dude, every kid fucking smokes weed. When they grow up, they're going to smoke weed. Luke's going to be the same way, man. It just
well,
is what it
know.
Is. And I don't see why you would ever have any problem with it. Be like, oh, you can't do this, and you fucking got me. What
well,
the fuck,
you
man?
Never said you can't do something, because then the kid's automatically going to do it. That's,
yeah,
that's just
a
given.
Yeah,
so you can never
absolutely.
Say you can't do this. All you can say is that doing this will cause you to do this. Now, they're still not going to
eat
listen to you.
Eat a bunch of fucking food and
well, no, I'm not going to tell him that. I'm just going to say, all right, so listen, I'm going to show him you. So I'm going to introduce him to you, and all I'm going to say is, Luke, this is why you never do drugs.
Yeah,
and
pretty much.
That's it. And the kid's going to be fucking straight edge for the rest of his life. He'll be like, you know what, Dad, I understand.
He's fucked for the
rest
of his life.
I'm not even going to screw around with this. I understand what the consequences are. I've seen them. It's like scared straight. I'm just going to use you instead.
Yeah, I want to fucking see him and hang out with him, but there's no point when he's a little kid. Like, I need him to be a fully functioning, somewhat, like, member of society.
He is.
Yeah, but he, you know, like, when he's, like, 7, 8, 9 years old,
the kid's
going to
be
know,
smarter than you at that point. The kid's almost fucking smarter
is.
Than me now, dude. It's fucking, dude, it's like, so.
I don't question
Melissa
that at all.
Melissa had a lot of reservations about fucking coming up there and meeting Luke. Like, she was nervous. She was like, well,
yeah.
I don't really do well around kids, and, you know, I don't know how to interact with, like, babies, and I'm like, yeah, but this isn't a baby. She's like,
yeah.
I don't understand what you mean. I'm like, well, you can talk to him just like you talk to a regular adult. She's like, well, you know, I guess I'll just, you know, see it to believe. Like, there's nothing that you can say to him that he'll just kind of like, be like, oh, goo goo gaga, and stick his head. No, the kid fucking looks at you and you're like, hey, Luke, can you go over there and go get this for me? And he just gets up, walks over, picks it up, whatever it is exactly what you ask him for, and brings it right over to you.
Dude, you
gotta
teach him how to get beers.
Oh, dude, he could do that like this.
No shit,
yeah.
Already?
Well, I can guarantee you, if he could open up the refrigerator.
Yeah.
He would be able to go get beer. I'd be like, hey, Luke, go grab me a beer.
He
would be able to go in there.
He lacks the opposable thumbs.
No,
to
he
be
lacks
able to
the height.
Him.
I mean, dude, oh. To fucking open up the refrigerator is pretty serious. I mean, you
yeah,
know, it takes
I
a little bit more than like 1 pound of fucking pressure.
Yeah, I guess if you're only 2 feet tall, it could be quite a challenge.
I don't think he's 2 feet tall, dude.
I think
he's like almost 3.
He should be He-Man smashing the fuck out of the refrigerator
he probably
door then.
Should, dude.
Just
when I fly back up there for
open.
His yeah, exactly. When I fly back up there for his birthday party, I can see him now. He's just gonna be like 5'2". I'm gonna be, are you fucking kidding me? I went up there and we're fucking like we're wrestling it around and it's like Luke literally will be able to kick my ass by the time he's 7. Because as of right now, the kid's head is up to my hip and I'm fucking 6'2".
Holy shit.
And he's
man.
Not even 2 yet. He'll be
really?
2 fucking next month.
He's gonna like be beating up all the kids at school, taking their lunch money and shit.
He's just gonna fucking Hulk smash everything. Exactly, dude. He's just gonna be a fucking bouncer by the time he's like 11.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
It's gonna be ridiculous, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, it should be good. Kid's fucking smart as hell and gigantic. So.
You think any of our audience, our listeners, has kids? I probably feel like some of our listeners do have kids.
I feel like they're listening to this, they probably don't. They have better things to be doing.
It would be like a small percentage, you know, just like some people.
Well, out of the small percentage of listeners that we have, pretty sure we know almost all of them. And I'm going to say that none of them have kids.
That pie chart is nothing but fucking crumbs at this point. There's no splitting it any other way than what it was.
It's true.
That's it, man. I've been riding a bike a lot, though, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because Williamson County put me on the no driving fucking program. So I've been riding the bike, man. It's not that bad. So, like, the first week I rode the bike, like, we didn't really work on it. We were just like, all right, we'll put air in the tires and go. The brakes were all fucked up. Oh, like, the brakes were locked up. So I was, like, trying to pedal with the brakes.
That's where fucking builds leg muscles, dude.
It wouldn't shift out of high gear.
That's all you need is high gear.
So going uphill in high gear and all this shit.
You're just pedaling 9,000 miles an hour, moving, like, 1 inch.
Well, no. Like, after about a week of this shit, I was like, man, we got to do something about this. So we went and fucked around with it and, like, took everything apart, put it all back together, got it running right. And I looked on the internet and I'm like, well, what the fuck? I've never heard of it. It's like a Marin. It's like Marin County, California.
Okay.
And apparently I looked at the bike and the model year that I have is retail in 2003. It was like $550.
Wow.
I'm like, holy shit. So it's legit,
so
man.
So you have like an entry level model.
No, it's Colin said it's actually a pretty good bike as far as mountain bikes and shit.
I went to the fucking bike shop. This was
like
a month
ago. They
have
ones that are like thousands of dollars and shit like that.
I was like, yo, let me see an entry level one. And that was about the price point of what he gave me.
$500.
Dude, I was like, yeah, I need a mountain bike, not anything that's like ridiculous, but I kind of want like a road bike instead and blah, 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 blah. So he was like, all right, so here are the ones without any gears whatsoever. I was like, well, I kind of want one with gears. And he was like, okay, well, let's go ahead and move over to this section. Now all of a sudden it's like fucking $800-$900 for fucking a bike.
What
and I was
the
like,
hell?
This is a bicycle. There's no engine.
Yeah.
I don't get like a bitch that fucking pedals it for me or something. Like, I'm not understanding how this is this much money. I was like, I feel like I could definitely build a bike out of something else, just duct tape and bamboo, for instance, and fucking be good.
You could, and you can grow bamboo in your backyard.
If I had one.
That shit grows like weeds, man. All you need is, I don't know if you get bamboo seeds or if it's like the little seedlings that are like little green things.
Yeah.
But it like seriously grows at a ridiculous rate. Like every, I would say it grows like a foot a month, like that fast.
That is really fast.
Yeah, it is. Because in Vietnam, during the Vietnam War, when they would capture prisoners of war, they would fucking put them on the ground and they would plant bamboo plants on the ground, mm-hmm. and then lay them on top of the bamboo plants,
yeah.
and tie their hands and their feet and all that shit down.
Oh, it would like
and
grow
the bamboo
through
them
and shit.
Yeah, it would grow like through their body and fucking impale them on it and shit.
That is a shitty way
true
to go
story
out.
It is, man. But that's bamboo grows that fucking fast. They would be dead within like 2 weeks. It'd just be a bunch of fucking bamboo that would like grow all the way up through them. And it's
that's
strong enough
insane.
To poke like all the way through your skin and
that
everything.
Is fucking
yeah.
insane.
It's brutal, man. But bamboo is legit. You can use it for almost anything, man. You could build rafts with it and, you know, you could furnish your bathroom floor with it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can mm-hmm. do all kinds of awesome shit with bamboo.
Can I use it as a microphone?
Probably. If you put a microphone at the end of it and wrapped it in bamboo, you could use it as a microphone stand.
Just going to make everything out of bamboo from now on.
You could use it as like a trumpet if you hollow out the inside.
Gotcha, gotcha.
And you could like just yell like words and phrases into it and
gotcha.
Shit. And it would amplify your voice.
Think it would amplify it?
Oh, yeah, it probably would. I don't know. Maybe, possibly. I have no clue. I've never tried it before. But I know bamboo grows fast as hell.
Sounds like you need to start growing bamboo.
I should, man.
You
if I had
just
a backyard,
rip up,
I would.
No, man. Fuck a backyard.
Well, no, because
just
the problem
take
is...
a fucking box cutter, rip up a part of your carpet, and just throw dirt on there, and then put some
well,
seeds
all,
in.
No, it's all concrete there, though. There's no
so
dirt for it to grow
dirt,
in.
So then?
No, I need a jackhammer to dig down into the ground.
And
I need to get through the concrete of the floor.
I think so. To
and
get into the
down,
ground
yeah,
level?
Yeah,
you can't just, like, well, you know, throw dirt on the floor and hopefully it roots in?
It probably would, but... I don't know. I don't want a big-ass pile of dirt on the floor.
Why? You're the fucking dirt wizard.
I would grow it outside like right outside the little section outside my apartments. But last night we were doing the radiator flush and fill on that lightning that's sitting at my apartments. And so we had like all together 10 gallons of antifreeze with rust and all kinds of hazardous chemicals. And I was already like,
I don't think you want to finish this 8 or 9 legally.
Beers through. And I was like, oh, well, we'll find a nice spot to dump it. So the needless to say, no bamboo will grow in my apartments ever, forever from this day forward. I don't think anything will grow there.
Oh, my God.
It'll grow and it'll fucking cool your engine at the same time. It'll go green flowers.
Is that I know that OSHA fines something like $10,000 per gallon dumped of antifreeze in a
So what happened with the fucking BP oil spill when they dumped billions of gallons of water in the fucking Gulf, man? Well, they didn't do shit to them.
No, it doesn't matter.
Except for me dumping a little bit of antifreeze.
Right.
I'm going to have the FBI kicking my door in.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to shoot my dog or shoot my cat and be like, oh, it attacked us.
Yep.
It's coming right at us. And they're going to shoot the shit out of it.
They're going to plant bath salts in the fucking...
I'm going down. I'm fucked, man. Mm? Shit.
I have little, no question about that. But, yeah, that all seems pretty legit. So, that's all I have to say about IKEA. That kind of went off kind
of
deep.
Yeah, that was kind of a strange tangent about IKEA.
Just to kind of punctuate that. So, the very last thing I saw in there, which actually made me put the magazine down, says, you know what, doesn't matter if you have a large space or a small space, a great way to separate it so that you have your own little personal island is put two couches back to back.
Two couches back to back.
Phil, tell me what fucking apartment has enough room to put two fucking couches back to back and make that an actual suitable living space in any condition?
No, well, you could put two couches back to back if that's the only thing you had in your entire apartment. Like, come on over, guys.
A little island where you can just sit there back to back with whoever the fuck you live with and just sit there in absolute isolation.
Well, I think IKEA is Swedish, right?
Yes.
So I think over there, their apartments are probably proportionately bigger than what ours are.
Yeah, because they don't have marketed in America. Like, I don't think anyone from fucking Sweden buys IKEA shit. They're all like, no, this is garbage we sell to Americans. Like, I don't think that anyone in Sweden is actually fucking buying IKEA shit.
You're probably right.
Yeah, this is all marketed to Americans.
So I don't know, man. Maybe it's some, you know, some fucking marketing firm is like, this is what the kids of America want to see. Because you look at the IKEA catalog and you buy some useless fucking plywood, cardboard piece of shit and you put it together and you get home and you buy it with all these expectations and high hopes. You're like, oh, look how awesome this is going to look in my room. This is going to be so, look at this bookshelf. This is so awesome. And you get home and you put slot A into tab B and you stab yourself with a screwdriver and you get pissed off.
30 minutes and there's blood on the carpet. Box.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the finished project, you have like half of a TV stand and like 5 bolts left over that nobody knows where the fucking extra bolts go.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look nothing like the picture.
Oh, it looks exactly like the picture.
So my problem...
Just minus the blood, sweat, and shame.
No, my problem is, and I think you nailed it on the head when you said, take the picture from the IKEA catalog, 3D print that shit, and just tape it to your fucking wall.
That seems...
You don't need a bookshelf.
Exactly.
All you need is pictures of books.
Yes.
And just tape them to the picture of the bookshelf on your wall.
See, now this is what I would do. Like, this
That's
is
like
actually what
I want
to do.
Living for the broke, man.
Once I get... Well, once Melissa and I finally get a house and I'm able to have a dedicated studio room, I'm going to have a bookshelf on the wall. And I'm just going to tape pictures of books onto the wall. I think that's going
to
be the most
appropriate
way to do it.
That's all you need
to
do, man. You could cut them out from the IKEA catalog.
I'll look like a fucking learned scholar with just 8,000 leather-bound books all taped up into
print
a
out
bookshelf.
Print out some fucking medical documentaries and shit. You know, some medical books. Brain surgeon for the modern fucking surgeon, you know.
It's a picture of fucking Dr. Nick smiling, giving the thumbs up.
Exactly.
Brain surgery for dummies.
Dude, that would make it totally legit. And just throw some fucking IKEA catalogs around, man.
That's the kind of shit that I want, though. I want to try to find books, like all the For Dummies books, but then just relabel them, like make custom dust
Dude,
jackets.
There's so
like
many
neurokinetics
of them.
For dummies.
Like, I remember back in the day when I was a kid, when like Computer City, CompUSA, before there was Fry's, before there was Best Buy, like the old computer stores, you could go in and there would be like the For Dummies book section, and it'd be like 10 books, maybe like one row.
Right.
Like, you go now and there's like how to tie your shoes for dummies. You know,
how to read fucking books for dummies. Yo, dog, I heard you like dummies. How to make dummies for dummies.
How to internet for dummies.
Yes, how to internet.
Dude, oh, I feel like the credentials you need to write one of those for dummies books is probably, the bar is probably set pretty low on that one. Like, you could just write a letter with a book and put it inside a FedEx envelope and be like, I wrote this book.
You know what? So I'm actually going to have to disagree with
you. I don't feel like you have to be an actual established published author to write some dumb shit like that.
Well, no. Not because I could write
something like that, like how to fap to granny porn for dummies. You just put four dummies at the end of it. You know,
you should write that.
I should be an established author.
You should do an internet blog for dummies and make it for dummies. Yes, like internet blog for dummies. That'll just be the name of it. Everything for dummies. And then just do different topics like how to fap to fucking eel porn, how to fap to fucking grandma porn. Well,
my only problem is I need a four dummies to learn how to internet blog because I don't know how to do that.
And that'll be your first blog. You'll be like, you know what? I built this blog for dummies by dummies for the dummies that need this. And I read the book about how to do this for dummies.
You think anybody would read that shit?
No,
probably
I don't
not.
Think so at all. Yeah, but no. Actually, you know what? You would have one subscriber.
Probably me. You'd be the only one that read that shit.
I would read every fucking article just word for word.
If I knew how to do it, I would probably do it. But I don't know how to work all that shit. Like, I know how to go on the internet and like look at stuff I want to look at, but to actually be productive on the internet, nobody, I ain't got time for that shit.
So you know how to look at porn, but doing anything else on the internet is not
something
you're familiar
with. Well, like, I know how to look at porn or, like, you know, find baseball scores or, you know, find NASCAR results for races, shit like that. You know, stuff I'm actually interested in.
Right.
But, like, being productive on the internet, that's not what the internet's for. We all know what the internet's for, and it's not for being productive.
Well, it's being productive.
In your own special way.
I would have to say, you know, the definition of productive is the noun and or verb for producing. And when I use the internet, I produce. I'm not going to say what I produce, but I certainly do produce. So I am very productive whenever I use the internet under any circumstances.
So maybe that's what that's the trick to it then. You just have to be productive in your own special way on the internet. I'm sure most, if not all of our listeners are productive in their own special ways. I feel like all of our listeners are probably like top quality, very smart people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, high class, you know, doctors, lawyers,
I don't think
types like
there's
that.
Anyone
definitely
who
people
to this
that
podcast.
Don't shop out of the IKEA catalog.
Oh, no, definitely.
People
not.
That can afford to buy real furniture.
Yes, without
know.
I would say that every single one of our listeners, I would say that not one of them has an IQ below 160.
I don't know.
Except for you when you listen back to it.
How do you judge like the IQ? Like how do you beat the game on that score? Is it like 1,000 is the best or like 100 is the lowest? Like how do you, because people are like, oh, my IQ is this or like 150 or whatever. Like who made up the fucking IQ test and like how do you, like is 1,000 the best? Is 100 the best? Like how do they work all that shit?
That's a very interesting question and I'd like to be able to answer that for you.
I have
no
clue.
But my IQ is too low.
I don't think I've ever even taken one of those tests. So you have to like pay money to take it? Like go to Mensa or some shit?
For legitimate IQ tests? Yeah. Yeah. At this
point,
there
would
be. You
have to pay money for it?
Yeah. Because those are actually administered by, you know, psychologists and what's accepted in the medical, you know, field as being able to be a accurate or semi-accurate IQ test. But there's also discussion that says that these IQ tests have no actual bearing on how to test IQ.
They don't, because so you can have a guy that has an IQ test of, you know, 200, whatever, he hits the max IQ test. You know,
no,
he knows about mathematics, fucking reading, art, science, all that shit. And then you could have some guy who, you know, has a grade school education, but, you know, say he builds motors for race cars and he can fucking build a motor in 30 minutes, you know. So where does it become relevant? Because the guy that knows how to build a motor in 30 minutes knows more about that specific subject, but he doesn't know about math and reading and all that other shit.
Because
so is his IQ less, or is he any less relevant?
No, because
I don't think so.
IQ tests are not like SATs. There's not an English portion. There's not a is not a math portion. It breaks it down in different ways. It breaks it down in ways that your brain can function, how fast it can function, your level of understanding of items.
But it doesn't determine skill level. It just determines
your ability,
reasoning ability, and how you solve problems and how quickly you can fucking solve problems and shit.
Your intelligence, and that's the only, you know, there has to be a way to be able to gauge intelligence, and that's, you know, that's why IQ tests are,
there's really not, because there's no broadband way to judge that. Like, you know, my example,
well, there kind of is, and that's why I have IQ tests.
The guy that fucking builds motors, he's the smartest, he could be the smartest motor engine builder in the entire world,
and he may get you a fucking IQ score of fucking 130, which is a reasonable and to well, high
we still
IQ.
Haven't established what the high and low is of
like,
IQ right, scores.
So, like, a genius would be somewhere between, like, I think 160 and 170 would be, like, a super mega genius.
So it only goes up to 200? Like, nobody's ever hit 200?
I don't think that it would go up that high. I don't know what
how
the highest,
high does it go?
I don't know what the highest recorded IQ is, but I can tell you, like, people like Einstein and shit like that, it's within that range of the, you know, 150, like 140 to 160 or something like that.
Really?
Yes.
I'd have to look at this test and see what it is.
The average,
I'd like to take it just for shits and giggles, and just to see what the hell it is.
IQ test. Well, you can take free ones online, but they're not really accurate. No, they're free,
but
they're not really accurate.
For free?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, online is for not being productive. Well, I guess taking an IQ test
would
be
productive. And you could fap
not
afterwards,
in the right
so it's
way.
Fine.
Yeah, but I want to fap and like
you could fap while doing the IQ test.
Yeah, I don't think that was going to help me out.
You know what? That would be a good test.
That's
fap
why
before
you need...
and after to find out if men get smarter or stupider after blowing a load.
Everybody knows the answer to that one. Every single person that's ever been married knows the answer to that one. After you blow a load, you definitely drop some IQ points.
All right,
I've even never been married and I know the answer to that one.
10 people with the highest IQ in the world. ScienceDump.com from MoviePoopShoot.com.
MoviePoopShoot.com. This sounds pretty legitimate.
All right, I'm looking here. So, just how smart is smart? So, this is kind of what you were asking.
The
so,
highest IQs ever for the IQ.
Well, so
is there like a standard test? Like, Isaac Q made the test and they just called it the IQ test? They're like...
No.
Some dude
no,
with a name that starts with I and his last name is Q, and they
no,
just
but,
made it IQ.
But this is what I can tell you. Stephen Hawking scored a 160 on his
and
IQ
And he can't
test.
Even fucking get up and wipe his own ass.
Well, yeah, that's a physical defect, not a mental one.
Yeah, but still.
Kim Il-young is the Guinness World Book of Records, has him as the highest confirmed IQ, actually at 210.
Yeah, but
the
what
man
the...
has an IQ of 210.
Okay, so if you're a dude and you're making a test to test IQ, who the fuck is the dude writing the questions? The guy writing the questions has to be the smartest guy that's ever lived on the face of the planet. Like,
well,
it doesn't
no,
make any
no,
fucking sense.
Because
who writes
you
the
don't
questions?
Need to, you don't need to know the answers to be able to write the test. All you need to do is have a understanding of psychology and logic and, you know, understanding of that aspect of
it. How do you know if they got it right or wrong and if you don't know what the answer is?
It's not about a yes. This is not yes or no sort of situation.
See,
this
I'm not buying it. It sounds like witchcraft.
It is.
I'm not buying that shit.
All right, listen, Christian. Sounds- you just calm down with your science and witchcraft.
It
confusion.
Sounds like witchery and bamboozlement and fucking all this horn swoggling.
So here,
bootlegging.
They do this pretty well. They give you kind of an idea here. So it's 50% of people have an IQ score between 90 and 110.
So that's like the average
that's like the
Joe
average.
Blow that goes
right.
to work 9 to 5.
Right. 2.5% of people are mentally deficient or impaired. So an
2.5?
IQ, yes.
Really?
So that's it's an IQ under 70.
Have they met my stepbrother?
He probably has an IQ of like 71.
You think so?
So under 70 is considered deficient or impaired. So yeah.
Deficient or impaired.
I would, you know what? I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll give him an 80.
Think so?
Yeah. Yeah. So only 0.5% of the people are near genius or genius, which is over 140. So if you score over 140 on an IQ test, you are considered a genius or a near genius.
I wonder what this fucking test looks like. I'm going to have to do some research on this.
2.5% of people are very superior in intelligence, which is over 130.
2.5%?
Yep. And yeah. I guess the rest falls in the category of... because 50, 2.5, 0.5, and 2.5 doesn't equal 100, so I'm not really sure who broke this chart out, but I think we're running into issues already, because I think yeah. they might have scored an IQ under 70. You know, so looking through here...
We got to find the guy that wrote this test, because well, it sounds like bullshit already. No, because
there are multiple tests. There's not like, one be-all, end-all test.
The guy that wrote this test probably has fucking pictures from the IKEA catalog in his bathroom, because he can't afford to build the actual furniture.
He's a smart motherfucker, then. He got the picture, so see, maybe
he's already
does.
Beat the game.
Exactly. No, so wait, so I did find some... All right, so what did I say? 210 was the Guinness World Book of Records for the highest, but I'm looking here. And
some
I'm,
guy from like China or Japan
yep,
or
yep.
some...
He is of Asian descent. Christopher Hirata is one of the people who, let's see, at 14 he entered Caltech. By 16 he was working at NASA. He has a IQ of 225.
So saying you work at NASA now is not as much of a badass baller thing as like saying you worked at NASA in the 60s and the 70s. Because
no,
like all the
that
shit
is true.
In the 60s and the 70s, you had to be fucking smart. There was no computers to be like, right. how much rocket fuel do we need to get to this trajectory to get around the moon and get home? Nowadays, you just pull out your iPhone. Done.
You ready to have
time
some real
to go
fun
home.
Here? So Terrence Tao, two credits his smart mathematics to watching Sesame Street as a toddler. By the age of two, while most of us are getting adjusted to walking and talking, Tao was able to calculate basic arithmetic. By age 9, he was taking college-level math courses and receiving a PhD from Princeton. At 24,
he got
became
a fucking PhD
at
20. Age 9?
No, at 20.
Oh, at age 20. Okay.
At 24, he became the youngest ever full professor at UCLA.
Damn, really?
Yep. IQ, 230.
I feel like if you were that smart, you wouldn't have to be a... You could just be Neil deGrasse Tyson. And just be a badass. That's all you'd like. Well, I feel like his IQ is like higher than that. Like he's a smart motherfucker, man.
I feel like Terrence Tao, his father, is the fucking meme father. Why you no get A? Try harder. So we're about to have some real fun. This is going to be the zinger before we go to halftime. You want to know
if any of our
here?
Fans are listening, if you can find out what Neil deGrasse Tyson's IQ is, put it on our Facebook page. Or just post Neil deGrasse Tyson links or awesome memes on our Facebook page just for me. Do it. I know you guys want to. If you're listening to this right now and you're sitting at work and you're like, oh, this is pretty not funny and not entertaining at all, listen to my voice. Find Neil deGrasse Tyson. Post memes on our Facebook page. Post videos. Somebody find out what his IQ is and post it up there for us.
I would like more memes on the Facebook. That would be great.
I would like that, too. That would be awesome. I'm going to have to do that. I'll be the one to get the ball rolling.
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah. What is this? Fun fact of the podcast?
James Woods.
James Woods is
IQ
not the smartest.
IQ of 180.
No, I'm not
on
buying that.
On his SAT, Woods scored a perfect 800 on the verbal and 779 on his math. He enrolled in linear algebra at UCLA while he was in high school before accepting a full scholarship to MIT, where he caught the acting bug, dropped out of college, and never looked back. One could only imagine what his career would have looked like if he stayed in academia.
The world would be a lot better if he stayed in academia.
James fucking Woods. All
right. Yeah, that's hard. That's a fucking hard pill to swallow right there, though.
180 IQ. And all I could
that's
think of
is... That's
probably
like both of us combined.
Ooh, piece candy. Ooh, piece candy.
I know.
Ooh, piece
really?
Candy.
Really? Come on, James fucking Woods. Come on,
so,
man.
I think that's fucking awesome. But anyway, that is going to take us
hey,
right
let's,
up to halftime.
Let's go into halftime with... maybe some Sublime. I think the listeners would
some
like
Sublime.
That. Yeah.
We could do that. Yeah. We can definitely do that.
Stay tuned for some old classic tunes you haven't heard in a while. And we'll see you after the break.
We'll be back.
Raging and swirling, getting inside. I feel like I'm going to break. Bright sun, sinking low. I never feel afraid to let emotion show. I did. Now take a look at me. I had a close brush with what your destiny. Before I am done, you'll be victims of my stories, tales, lies, and exaggerations. I'm gonna, when you're living life like the show, you gotta think about to the people you know. I said, lie for me. feels like I'm going insane. Red lights are sinking low. I'll grab another beer because it's time to go. I feel my head burst. I head out to your car and I pray to Jesus Christ, but you won't get too far. I say, I hate lights and I say, can't hear. I run the road of life, escape the things you fear. I say that you might find a better way to justify the evil things that you're saying. I help me please, I help me please, because I'm going up on my knees. I said, going down to my knees. Pray to the Lord up above.
Welcome back from halftime to another fine episode of New Level Studios. Possibly one of the last ones of the summer. I mean, we are in Austin, so really technically the summer, you know, ends around like December. But, you know, this is August.
It's not even hot yet, man. Like, it's not even into the
time.
It's not even in the dog days of summer yet.
It's been a pretty mild summer, honestly. It really has.
It's been pretty mild. Enough, because my monkey ass is riding the bike to work every day.
Oh, God. I wish it were the same summer I moved down here. Just like 90 days, fucking over 100 degrees every single day.
Well, you have Al Gore to blame for that, because he's melting the polar ice caps and fucking up all the polar bears. Yeah.
He's just sending heat through his inner tubes all the way to fucking the ice caps.
Al Gore inventing the internet wasn't enough for Al Gore.
It's not.
No, he had to just fuck the world royally, so
nice.
Now he started melting the polar ice caps, and he's got the polar bears in on it. And
I just see a picture of him sitting there with like a Zippo, just standing next to the ice caps.
He is. Well, he rides around on a polar bear while he does this. Like, it's, oh, it's Al excellent. Gore riding on a polar bear,
that
melting
is,
the polar ice caps
is
with
most
a Zippo.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I can just see Al Gore now just bent over in front of the polar ice cap trying to fart and fucking like blow flames on it while riding the polar bear.
That's why it's so fucking hot, because of that. Yeah, because
they're like,
if Al Gore was
melting the ice caps,
if Al Gore was never invented, then like we would never have global warming. We would never have any of that shit. The polar bears would all still be alive. All the endangered species would still be alive. You know, it
would. Would you blame the BP oil spill on Al Gore?
Absolutely, 100%.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like
because
it.
I feel like he's
a bold statement.
I feel like he's in some way somehow tied to it. I mean, you can't invent the fucking internet and not be tied to some shit like that. You know, he knows he's a money making Mitch. He knows how to make money. So, you know,
would you also say that Al Gore is anonymous?
Probably. Yeah. He probably runs all that shit too.
All of it. Like it's just him.
Like when you see like, you know, a crowd, like when they had the Occupy Wall Street,
right.
And there were like 1,000 kids and they were like wearing the V for Vendetta mask.
Yeah.
All Al Gore.
So every single person there was Al Gore. They were the 3D projectors.
No, well,
like they did with Tupac.
It was Al Gore and his clones, and they're all that's why they wear the mask. Because if you see more than one Al Gore, like you instantly die. It's like seeing the ring, like that movie The Ring.
7 days.
If you see the ring, like if you see more than one Al Gore at a time, and like you're done. That's
so. And to further connect this with what you're saying, so you're saying that
I'm trying to say Al Gore is my hero.
Okay, because I was going to say the reason that George Bush was trying to outlaw stem cell research was just so that Al Gore would stop cloning himself.
Yeah, to prevent Al Gore from multiplying. That's exactly it. See, you don't need no goddamn IQ test, man. We don't need no IQ test for this shit.
Oh, we're knee deep in it.
I'm probably like 350 on the IQ test, man.
Easily.
I know I'm
question.
Way above.
Without question.
I'm so far above and beyond, I understand shit the people writing the test don't even understand.
I believe that.
I should write my own IQ
you
test.
You should write your own IQ test.
I should do that and like make it as a poll or something on the Facebook page and like have people vote on it to see and
do the IQ test.
Yeah, who wins the IQ test challenge?
That would be good.
It would be good.
How many questions would it consist of?
I would say,
is it like short and sweet or is it really
no
in-depth?
We'd have to keep it simple because the attention span of our target audience is not, you know, I would say maybe like 7 questions.
Wow.
You know?
So that is
just keep
pretty
it short
simple.
And simple. Yeah.
So that's kind of like using a broadsword for brain surgery at this point.
No, well, like all you claymore. Need to know is like, okay, so, you know, just real simple 7 questions to figure out what your IQ
like how many
is,
women
how
does
much
it take
you
to
understand.
Make a sandwich? Like that sort of questionnaire? Because that,
well,
that's what I would
brain
see coming
buster
from
right
you.
There because it depends on what type of sandwich you're talking about. I mean, we're talking
see,
about...
There you go.
See, well...
That's
see,
the right answer.
That's
is,
why...
It depends on what kind of sandwich.
That's why people call me an intellectual.
Right.
Like, people call me that all the time.
I hear
I can't,
that. I hear that
I can't
all
tell
the time
you how many
you.
Times people just walk down the street and they're like, oh, shit, that's Phil Davis. He's an intellectual type cat. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people say that to me.
I have nothing at this point.
It's been more than once. I'm not going to lie to you.
I would confirm that that you are without question one of the most intellectual individuals I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, so you don't need IQ tests or
no,
anything like that.
You know.
But it's, I don't know, because the whole thing just seems like a sham to me. It's like, so if you pass this IQ test, does that give you better opportunities to have a better job?
No, no,
and
no.
And people pay you more money?
Nope.
Or is it just so you can, like, stroke your fucking E-peen and
so
be like, I'm the smartest man in the world?
That's it.
Really?
Well, I mean, what it essentially comes down to is that, you know, when it comes into situations that you or I will never, ever, ever get into in our lives, such as being considered a child prodigy on a worldwide level and what type of schools
I think we've
will be
already,
accepted to.
I think that ship has already sailed as we're concerned.
Exactly. at the age of 9, if you're trying to get accepted to MIT, an IQ of, you know, 180 or 190 would probably be a plus one.
So I don't understand the whole reasoning behind that. Like, so say, and like you have a kid, so, you know, say Luke, like he goes to do some test and they're like, oh, this is the smartest kid we've ever seen in the whole state of New York. Like, what benefit is it going to benefit you to be like, okay, well, you have to do all this college and study all this so you can be the youngest kid to ever graduate from college or the youngest kid to be a professor? Like, how the fuck is that going to help you in real life? You ain't going to get laid. Because all you do is study the whole time.
Well, just be
you
like,
ain't
gonna
like
the size of my IQ.
Yeah, no, I don't think very many girls are going after the size of the IQ.
Well,
I don't think
you get some
like,
hot nerdy ones, and they're all like, oh, well, you're smart.
Yeah, but that's almost like a mercy fuck. They're like, well, you've never been laid, so I'm going to give you some. Like, I don't feel like that's a legitimate fucking score right there.
I think that there's definitely a level that you cross with your IQ where if you're intelligent enough, it's easy to score girls because you're intelligent. But if you're too intelligent, then it becomes more difficult to score girls because you're a fucking, you know, what average Joes would consider a
nerd.
Yeah,
but you got to set your sights low. Like, you can't, because all the intelligent girls, you know, like all the fucking hoity-toity, like smart type girls and shit, you know, they don't want to go out and have a drink and go to a bar and all that. You know, they want somebody who's like financially stable and who's going to buy them a Mercedes and all
this
other bullshit,
man. That's
going
to be easy to do if you're in a position where you're smart enough to get yourself into a position where you have that much money.
Yeah, but see, the poon is poon. It doesn't matter what the IQ of the poon is. It's still the same when the lights go out. Whether it's like a $3 crack whore or some chick with an IQ of 220, it's the same as the same, man.
She may know, you know, molecularly or, you know, the
molecularly.
Bottom line is, you may be able to get a chick in bed who has an IQ of 220, who is a just absolute astute individual when it comes to the anatomy of a person, and therefore her knowledge of the anatomy of you could possibly benefit you to levels in bed where you would have never reached previously.
See, I don't believe that, because right before I moved from New York back down to Texas,
handy from a hooker who
I was dating this girl who actually had a PhD in psychology. She worked for the state of New York. She lived in Queens, and I would drive from Oceanside to Queens like three nights a week, and I'd go out there, hang out at her house, all that shit, you know, made dinner for her, like... She was smart as hell.
She is the most dangerous woman alive.
Well, the thing is, it's like, it's not... So, comparing the relationship I had with her to a relationship I had with just, you know, a regular girl who wasn't a PhD or anything like that, there's not really that much difference as far as I'm concerned, because I'm not... And it may be me, you know, like, oh, you have a PhD, you're a super genius, well... That's not helping me out none.
Well, no,
and, you know, your brains ain't going to get me off,
but,
you know.
But you know what it is? Some people are into that. Some people, you know,
you got to be pretty fucking strange, because you still need that physical, you know, interaction.
There's always a physical
like being
aspect
brains
of it,
and all that shit's not going to do it for me.
Right. There's always a physical aspect, but I mean, when you enter into a relationship, you want someone who can match your, you know, I'm going to say intelligence, to have a more rich, you know, a richer experience with that individual as a person.
Well, not nowadays, because people get fucking married and get divorced like they're changing their fucking socks.
Well,
so
right,
it's
so
not like
you
find you the perfect
way.
Match for you and then you stay
no,
with them for the rest of your life.
You don't always.
That's like very fucking rare.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah, no,
but the bottom line
is
that I wouldn't, so for instance, you know, I wouldn't be marrying Melissa if I thought that she was a fucking retard. I'm not into that. That's not how I go. Some guys are all about the trophy wives. I would never be able to stay in something like that.
Well, you got to look at it differently. So you're not looking at it as, well, this is
not seeing it four-dimensionally.
Well, no, it's, you're not looking at it like, well, this is a nice piece of ass, so we should get married because I don't want to bang nobody else. You're looking at it as like, this is a person that is fucking smart enough to relate to me, and we should get married so we can make this shit last for a long time. You know, it's two different mindsets.
Well,
but most of the fucking kids today that are getting married don't have that mindset for the long
retards.
Term. You know, they're like,
that's
oh,
the IQ dropping
it's
right
a
there.
Nice piece of ass, so we should get married. So, and then fucking 2 years later, they're divorced.
Well,
shit.
I mean, the whole reason that I'm getting married to Melissa is because I hit the jackpot. So
yeah.
I got an intelligent woman
who's
a
great
piece of ass. I mean, this
you
is
definitely
just,
can't do no better.
That's it. She is my first. Well, no, I can't actually say my first, but she will be my last piece of ass. And I'm sure that she would actually be happy with that.
Yeah, man. Well, she's going to have to whip you into shape.
She's going to have to break a bitch? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, she's going to have to. Wayne Brady's going to have to slap a bitch. She's going to have to.
So. Moving
she's
on from
there,
all this joyous
she's smiling
shit.
The whole time.
Oh yeah. Oh no, I'm sure she's ear to ear. I'm using this like such degrading language, but in all honesty, she'd be happy to know that I, you know, she for me, she is my last piece of ass. And that's it. And the beauty of it is I'm sure that she's satisfied with that. As
it
I
is
am.
What it is, man. I mean, sometimes, you know...
I'll be her last piece of ass.
Know,
I mean, it goes both ways.
Melissa's probably setting her sights pretty low, but I mean,
Melissa
you
has
do
the
you
lowest
do.
Sights. I mean, Melissa's
see?
Sights are literally
yeah.
in the dirt.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
that's where it is.
See, so then she might be fine then. I mean, as long as her expectations are that low, she
her
might be fine.
Her expectations are you able to grow bamboo? And that's it.
Well,
so
we
got to
work on that
the
then. Well,
deep
we got to work on that.
Dirt.
We got to get your bamboo skills up to par, man.
I'll,
your wedding
I'll
is like less than a year away, man. You got to get it up to par. All our listeners,
there.
Especially Sarah Salazar, because I know she listens to our
does
podcast.
She?
Yeah,
Sarah, I am so
please,
sorry.
Please help Sam Rouse learn how to grow things, especially bamboo.
I can grow things.
Not with any kind of skill or success rate.
Who said anything about skill? I can grow things. So I guarantee you, if I leave milk out on the counter for at least a month, there will be all sorts of shit growing there.
I don't
okay?
think that counts as growing.
Dude, that
things.
Totally counts as growing.
It's not edible. It's not. How is that going to make your future wife happy?
I can make
look
penicillin
what I made.
Out of it.
You make pit.
Dude, you got to start somewhere. Who knows? Maybe I'll find the cure for cancer in mold.
Start at the bottom and work your way up.
Exactly.
I don't think your IQ is high enough to figure out the clumpy shit on your counter could cure penicillin. There may be some trial and error involved in this.
No, there'll be no trial and error. I'm just going to feed you mold for 6 months and be like, Phil, you have cancer.
You're not going to experiment on me. Fuck that shit. You might want to experiment on somebody else. I ain't eating anything that comes out of your house.
The good news is that the second half of this podcast is going to be targeted for individuals with an IQ who enjoy intellectual conversation. The intellectual conversation, however, is relatable to every man. Well, actually, at least I believe it was 2/3 of the population. And the thing that I wanted to bring up is fucking deja vu.
Yeah. Well, that affects 100% of the population.
No. So statistics indicate that 2/3 of the population are affected by it, or at least have had one instance of what they describe as deja vu.
I feel like 100% of the population will be affected by it.
I have looked on the internet. Okay, so that means that any fact that comes out of my mouth is 100% accurate, up to date, and with it, exactly, it's indisputable.
It's on the internet. Indisputable. It's indisputable.
Game.
I've got to say, though, as far as deja vu, though, I've had in my entire life, my 32 years, I've had instances where I will have a dream, and it'll be the most vivid in living color dream I've ever had in my entire life.
About in living color?
No, just like a dream about anything. And then randomly, you know, like months or weeks later, like things from that dream will be like happening in real life. Like, you know, you see this person in the dream and like they're talking about this and you go to this store and you do this. And then like months down the road, like the shit actually happens.
So how have you been able to document or at least directly relate this dream that is stated to be set in such vivid nature to this instance? Because that is actually something that the mind thinks may be the case.
Well, there is no way to document it because you can't record dreams.
Sure you can. There's you can write them down. Dream journals are very common.
Yeah, you can write them down, but suggested. That's all, you know, subject to your interpretation of it. I mean,
no, it's not, because you know, that's the whole idea of writing them down. So by you putting those words there, you're able to reinterpret and re-spark that memory of that dream. That's the whole idea.
Yeah,
of
but
the
deja vu thing is not actually writing it down, because I feel like if you write it down, it's in your subconscious and you're kind of like expecting it to happen. So you may subconsciously put yourself in a situation where that dream would happen. That's you know, as far as being in the same place at the same time with the same person that was in your dream or whatever. It seems more lifelike if it's just, you know, it happens and then something sparks in your brain and you're like, whoa, I remember having a dream about this, and you get that weird like goosebumps feeling, like you feel like
the
you've already been there before,
sort of feeling of like, whoa, wait a minute, is this a dream or a memory?
And it's the most difficult part is trying to explain it to somebody else, because you're the only person that has experienced the first part of it, and you're experiencing the second part of it, which is a repeat, and you can't say, oh, you remember that one time when I had that dream? This exact shit happened. Right. People are going to be like, oh, well, you're fucking crazy.
Hence the phrase, you know? Deja vu.
Yeah, it's...
And that's how you would describe it. But what you're explaining right now is more of a romanticized version, and certainly leads into...
Oh, it's not romanticized.
Well, it is, and it is because of this reason. Because what you're alluding to right now by stating that you had a dream of this exact thing happening, and all of a sudden it happened... Then that being the case, what you're explaining or what you're describing is essentially precognizant. So what you're saying is that you're able to tell the future, not in any sort of controllable fashion or any sort of hokey fashion, but what you're saying is that you dream that this event happened and then that event happened.
Not in any
way. That's precognizance.
Not in any way where I could actually say, this is the dream I had, this is what's going to happen, because dreams are fucking fleeting in their nature. You know, you wake up, and unless you write down exactly what you're dreaming about, 6 hours later, you're at work, and you have no clue what you fucking dreamed about.
Right, because
you know?
It's your subconscious processing all the information.
The crazy part is, well, at least with me, what happens is there's some little fragmentation of that left in my head.
Right.
And, you know, it could be months, a year down the road, and I'm in a situation, and I'm like, holy shit, I definitely dreamed this and I've definitely been here before. And so, it kind of like plays out and shit.
So what that actually is, which is what I found out. I mean, it's still something that is
you think
is
your particles discussed. Leave your body when you're sleeping into the fucking ether?
Not at all. What some scientists say, and it's still a highly disputed and highly researched issue because of the fact that only until recently people have started taking it seriously as sort of like, what the fuck is deja vu? Because everyone kind of put that, clumped it in the same category of, oh, I see poltergeist and I see fucking ghosts and I can, you know, read shit. And
yeah,
all
like
that.
You're some crazy right, wacko exactly. with all these and crazy stories
it,
or some
it
shit.
It wasn't until the 1990s, now moving up until now, that, you know, scientists, researchers actually started taking this, and physicians as well, also started taking this seriously, because this is essentially, this is neuroscience. This is what goes on in your brain to create this. So, I mean, we have definitely a very clear understanding that your visual sense, your cognizant senses go ahead and it goes in through the optic nerve, you process it in your brain, and now it's happening. So that's the present to you right now.
It saves it somewhere, though.
Right, it does save it.
So it can even be shit from like when you were a child.
But
that
some
you don't
theories,
even have.
Some theories indicate this, that it's essentially, and what they're starting to prove through science is that it's a misfire. It's a misfire of synapse. So what's happening is that what you're perceiving to be either from a dream or a memory of something of that nature is actually your brain misfiring, and in the process of the short-term, long-term memory is actually misfiring. So as you're taking it in, your brain is essentially misfiring, and it's telling you that it's a memory when it's actually the present. That gives you the feeling of deja vu.
It sounds pretty fucking plausible to me.
So that's one of the theories. It's starting to get more debated, though. Because
well, the
they're
thing
starting
is,
to say that that's actually not the case. We actually don't see that being the case, because we would be able to, you know, essentially replicate that if we were able to, you know, have those same sort of synapse anomaly firings and things of that nature. But what they did start to do was something where they were actually able to bring it into a lab. And, you know, being able to bring something that is so, I guess, I'm not going to say rare, but I'm going to say so uncontrollable and bring that into a laboratory environment, they were able to do it.
Yeah, but the only thing is, so the advances, you look past even just the past 100 years, the advances in medical science, you know, with x-rays and MRIs, I mean, you know, doctors understand how your arms work, how your knee muscles work, how to replace a bladder, how to replace vital organs. But the brain
hasn't worked for me. All my shit's fucked up.
It's a goddamn fucking mystery. Nobody still knows exactly how. I mean, you know, scientists understand, you know, okay, synapses fire, things work like this, but it's not like your arm muscle, you know, okay, well, you extended your arm, it ripped, it tore, we'll sew it back together, it'll heal. The brain, like, nobody knows exactly how it works. It's
as
all
time
still a mystery.
Well, as time goes on, we start to be able to run down, you know, specific processes. Do we understand how the entire brain works? Absolutely not. Are we still in a situation at this time where we state that we only use a small percentage of our brain? Yeah,
which
is interesting.
And that's also a gigantic myth, too, because when that study came out was early in the century, and they were like, well, humans only use 10% of their brain. Well, of course, when you're running your test, you're, you know, maybe if they're only looking at something or hearing something, only 10% of your brain is working. It's not this whole mystical, oh, well, you could unlock the power of your brain. It was a bullshit test that was based on old standards. So when they say you only use 10% of your brain, that study was done 60, 70 years ago when they could only test, you know, they put pictures in front of you. And only one part of your brain was activated because you're only using your eyes, you know.
Yeah, but that's not true. So you have to think about this. So when you look at a picture, the amount of information that any given human takes
in that
time is insane.
It is, but it's only certain
parts
of your brain that are working. Like, you're not using your memory, or you're using,
you
like,
absolutely are.
The part of your brain that makes you stand up and walk, the part of your brain that makes you drive a car.
No,
you're not using
what
that
you
part
are
when
using
you're looking
is,
at a picture.
You are using your memory. Because subconsciously,
yeah,
what you're doing
100%.
Is you are processing the image. Then, in fact of that, you are putting it into your short-term memory, which then essentially loads into your long-term memory. It's very much like a computer. It's like using RAM versus a hard drive.
Yeah, but
and
it's
we
just,
do this instantaneously so fast and so quickly that
it's
there's
just
no
a
way
old,
to...
It's an old way of thinking to say, well, you only use 10% of your brain.
I'm not going to give a percentage.
Fucking gypsies and fucking all of them have, you know, for years and years said, okay, well, I can use 100% of my brain. Well, no fucking shit. I use 100% of my brain, too. Depends on what I'm doing. If I'm, you know, fapping to granny porn, I'm only using my left arm.
I'm using 190% of my brain.
And my ears. No, I'm not using 100%.
No. I dig in deep on those.
You're not, you know, the brain is not firing on all cylinders all the time. It's like a fuel efficient engine, like the new engines.
Right.
You know,
shuts down two cylinders or four cylinders.
When you're on the highway, you're only, you know, you don't need eight cylinders to run. Your brain is the same way. You know, when you're just watching TV, you know, you're vegging out, you're high or whatever, or you're sitting there playing a video game, your brain is not running on all eight cylinders. You're only using the pleasure cortexes, the visual cortexes, and the sound cortexes.
We are not sure about
that.
That
seems more plausible to me than 10% of my brain does everything I have to do in my everyday life, and I'm only using 10% of it? That sounds like bullshit.
I agree with you on that.
Like, I feel like
that's not a point that I'm disputing.
You know, in everyday life, you use 100%, but on certain tasks, you know, it's like it compartmentalizes. So if you don't need your long-term memory, then you're not going to use it. You're going to use all that for, you know, your visual or your hearing or your touch or whatever.
How do you determine what your long-term memory fucking does? You don't.
You can't. Nobody's been able to, like, figure out the brain. Yeah, science hasn't been able to figure out how you turn off one section or the other section or the other section.
There have been leaps and bounds in regards to brain science, which is awesome. But what I was going to get at here with this deja vu thing is that the reason why they are so, well, I guess the reason after more discovery why they're starting to narrow it down a little bit more is because deja vu apparently happens more frequently with people who have issues like seizures. And people who have like epileptic fits and such of that.
Well, that would make sense.
They experience more often deja vu of that rather than anything else, which leads into the synapses firing. So now we're starting to be able to
narrow
down.
Like a short circuit.
Well, this is the part that happens when seizure patients seize. And this is also common, you know, deja vu is also common within there. So at least we're starting to get to an area of the brain where we understand that, hey, this is where deja vu may occur. And
it's all like a short circuit. So the whole thing you're saying is deja vu is not real deja vu. You're seeing it from the first time, and the brain short circuits. What's fucking causing deja vu.
That's only one theory, because they actually did bring it into a lab and try to replicate it, and they were successful with it.
Going to replicate that? You put all the little fucking nugget things on your head and judge your brain that shit?
No, because what they can do is they can determine, okay, if we flash a picture in front of someone's face, we already know what parts are going to light up, so that shit doesn't matter. We're going to try to find out what causes deja vu. So if we do two processes where we already know how the brain reacts to it and we get deja vu out of it, we are starting to narrow it down to understand, okay, well, that's where that happens. So what they did is they brought in something like 81 college kids.
Yeah.
And what they did was they flashed pictures in front of their face and they asked them to look for the white or black cross in the picture. So that's all they were searching for.
Yeah.
So your mind, although is processing the entire picture, you may only be searching out for the black cross. You may not actually be looking at the
landscape. Because you're focusing on that one part.
Exactly. Yeah. So what they wound up doing is they did that. And I believe it was something like 80% or something like that. When they went back and they did it, and they did this at two different universities, and essentially the students, you know, looked at the pictures and just tried to do that. Now, a week later, they brought the same students back in, they sat down, they flashed a new picture in front of them and asked them, hey, have you ever been here before? And they were like, yeah, I've been here before. These are locations on campus that they have never been, as the colleges swapped pictures. So now students that were in Dallas were looking at pictures of shit that was up north, and students up north were looking for shit that was in Dallas, and they all had the same thing. But what they did with the pictures was is that they subliminally flashed it in front of their faces and without them actually being able to take it in. So at that point, it's only a subconscious thing.
They
started looking at it at you know, more substantial time periods, so you can actually take it in and see it. And the kids were like, yeah, absolutely, I've seen this. I've totally done this before. And they did the same test with just words. So they gave they gave 81 college students a list of words to study for as if it were like a vocabulary test or something like that. And what they wound up doing was giving them a list of words, they memorized them. Then when it came up, they were flagging, they essentially shot words across the screen again. And what they
the
were
the same
also,
words or different words?
So no. So they were just shooting words across the screen. Some of them were the same, some of them were different, so on and so forth. But so every single time a student recognized a word, they would flag it. So it'd hit a button and it would flag. And what they were doing is also subliminally were shooting the word that they memorized up for like 3 milliseconds on the screen. So it's not actually something you can capture. Exactly. Yeah. So it's not something that you would actually be able to visually capture, understand, and
the brain is fucking crazy, though, because your eyes may not see it, but your brain sees it.
They were flagging these words that they didn't memorize as words that they did memorize, which essentially gave them the sense of, I'm not going to say it's straight up deja vu, but it's like, all right, well, I know this word. No, you don't. This is the word that you were asked to memorize.
If you've only seen it for half of a second or a millisecond, but your brain still stores it somewhere in there, and you see it again, and you think it's deja vu.
So the students were wrong on like 90% of the words that they flagged, that, hey, memorize these words, and then they flash new words, and they were flagging the words that, oh yeah, I remember this one, I remember that one, I remember this one. They were wrong. Then what they went ahead and did is they slowed it down and showed the students what they were doing, and the percentage of wrong answers dropped down to like fucking like 10%.
Really?
Yeah. So once they were able to actually recognize, oh, okay, that's it. So incorrect flags dropped down when they weren't doing it subliminally. So deja it shows that, it really is just a subliminal thing.
But it's not like so deja vu in every life, though. Does it still have the same effect? Like if you see a flash of somebody you're walking past on the street, you know, like you're walking past the girl in the red dress and you notice she has blue eyeshadow.
It's funny, I was just watching the Matrix today.
Yeah. So, so from what you're saying, that stores in your brain. Like the only thing you remember is the blue eyeshadow. And then 2 weeks later, you see a girl in a black dress with completely different colored hair, but she has blue eyeshadow, and that somehow fires
what
a connection in your brain.
It's actually the opposite of what you're explaining. So what you'll see is a girl in a red dress. You don't notice the red dress, but you'll see eyeshadow on her of a certain color, right?
Yeah.
So now you're walking down the street the next day or a month later or whatever, and you see a woman in a red dress, completely different eyeshadow, but you didn't notice the eyeshadow, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, fuck, deja vu, because your brain took in the entire picture. You only focus cognitively on one thing, but your brain took in the entire picture.
It saves the whole picture.
That is really what they're... So, I mean, and again, it's still in research. It's still something that doctors and scientists are starting to take more you know, seriously, as opposed to, oh, hey, you read tarot cards and you get deja vu. Great.
Well, all that's all bullshit anyway. Like,
well, but I'm just saying, like, the deja vu portion is now starting to be removed from that bullshit bucket,
well, yeah,
which
because
is cool,
because
I mean that's a really eerie feeling that we get and we never understand why.
Yeah,
it's a human experience for almost everybody, but we have no way to trigger how that is the case. You know what I mean?
You can't put it in the same bucket as, you know, well, this is, you know, the TV show The Long Island Medium or a tarot card reader or all this shit, and they say, oh, well, you're going to see this or you're going to fall in love or whatever, and then, you know, 3 months later you find the girl that you always been looking for and you think you're in love. That is a whole nother can of worms.
Yeah, no,
because
no, no.
That's them
else.
Putting something in your head.
Right.
But you can't say that just by, you know, it's the brain is a crazy thing. So you can't definitively say if you saw a picture of a girl and then 6 months later you see a picture of a girl who's know what similar in what say what so what way whatsoever, but she has one distinguishing figure that looks the same, and it kicks in deja vu. It's more, at least in my case, the deja vu is more vivid than that. Like there's, you know, multiple details, you know, this dress, this color hair, this color shoes, like,
and
it's multiple
things.
They go
into that as well. So the other part of the study is after this study was published, a university student, I think he was like 26 years old, indicated that he actually emailed one of the professors that was doing the study and stated, listen, I've had some really fucking crazy, hardcore, vivid deja vu to the point where it went on for a long amount of time, which generally, you know, the intensity and the time equal out. But this was more so just something completely out of the ordinary. It went on for something like 15 minutes where he could literally to a T dictate what this individual was
exactly
going to say,
what was gonna happen.
What exactly.
Really?
And he was just like, and then I just had to sit there at the table for a minute and kind of come back to reality. And how the whole article is summed up is that he's not really coming back to reality. It's just a matter of that could be the whole thing of short-term, long-term memory processing before that. Because the whole
short circuit in the brain where you think you've seen it before, but you really haven't.
Right, because you're seeing it now. So it's basically, it's confusing present and past in your brain.
Yeah, but how can you tell what somebody's going to say before they say it?
It's only the feeling of it.
You think so?
Yes, because whenever you have deja vu, it's fragments. It's fragments of something that are brought up.
It's
not
usually
as though
never,
that you have a perfect picture
and
you know exactly that, okay, right now, this person's walking in the door right now, deja vu. It's always as it's happening. It's
one
always
or two small
and it's
things.
Fragments that you're like, what the fuck? And that's you know, that's essentially how it ended. They were just like, you know, that's what it all boils down to is that, you know, deja vu is considered something of, it's a fragment of an idea or a memory or a feeling that locks up with what you're doing presently that starts to do that. That's where you get in
the
subconscious.
The strange part is,
it.
Though, is in your brain, it feels like it's so real.
Oh,
like even the small fragment, the small little piece that you have. It seems like it's so real. You're like, holy shit, I've done this before.
Yep.
I've been this before. And it moves it to the front of your brain.
Exactly.
Where, like, you've actually done this shit before and you feel like you've been through it before.
Right. Now, they also have the other study, which hopefully my iPad's not dead. I could bring up the actual name of it. Good. 2%. Yeah, baby. So there is a...
2%.
Yeah.
You got 5 minutes.
There is another disorder, which is actually the exact opposite of deja vu.
Yeah, but deja vu is not a disorder. I mean,
well,
happens with all right, everybody.
So disorder is a strong word, but another... Well, this one is considered, or is at least tagged to people with disorders such as schizophrenia. You don't have to be schizophrenic in order to experience this. It's actually pretty common, and they also did tests where it's happened to a lot of people. I mean, it's happened to me before. It's happened to, I'm sure, Melissa. It's happened to you. It's essentially, it's called, and I'm probably terribly mispronouncing this because it's French and I don't speak it, but j'aimais vu. And what that is the exact opposite of deja vu. It's when you look at something that is familiar and though it feels as though it's the first time. So a great example of that, because it sounds kind of weird when you're saying
it does sound weird because I don't think I've ever had that happen to me before.
What they did was they had some college students sit down and they had them write out the word door, I think 30 times in 60 seconds. A percentage of them indicated that after writing that out, after so many times, they felt as though the word door was no longer a word. So I'm sure that some people can absolutely relate to it. If you say specifically, you know, well, not specifically, but if you say a word enough times in a row, have you ever had the instance of it doesn't sound like a word anymore? It just sounds like noise.
Maybe. I don't know if I've ever actually tried that.
I have definitely run into that before where it's like where you say something so many times that it sounds like noise. It doesn't sound like an actual word before.
So like if you say fucker like 50 times in a row, like it has,
and then
it has
like,
no
yeah.
relevance.
And then it's not, you know, X amount of times and then this happens. It just so happens
but
to be that when the mind is fatigued or, and also deja vu tends to happen in minds that are more fatigued or stressed or related to anxiety.
Like if you don't get enough sleep or
you're so like
stressed
kids
out
studying
or
for their PhD.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shit like that. Deja vu is recorded to appear more frequently in minds of that status. It's also to appear more frequently in young adulthood rather than like retirement age.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm almost near retirement age.
I'd love to agree with that. The reason being also homebodies experience it less than people who travel often.
Really?
People who are used to using their imagination more often as opposed to not experience it more.
So you got to be Peter Pan and Wendy to fly off into Never Never Land get fucking deja vu?
For instance, so like I could see that like persons like you and I, who are musicians, although music may not come into our brain in a sort of imaginary sort of sense, we still have that portion of our brain, I guess, right versus left sort of side.
Would you look at life in a different way? You look at it in, like, even so, my brain is, being a musician, is kind of hardwired to see things in 4/4 timing. You know, traffic lights, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's going to go yellow. 1, 2, 3, 4, it's going to go green.
That's actually so most of Western civilization's fucking preset.
Yeah, because Western civilization's time as is 4/4. Yeah, exactly.
Whereas if you go to India, people could be calling 6/8.
Yeah. Well, it's different because you look at it in a way that's familiar to you, you know?
As a musician, I mean, we can, and I'm not saying that musicians are anything special, artists, you know, anyone in a creative, you know, sort of background. I feel as though that they would tend
I'm
to
a
use
musician.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We would tend to use our imaginations more, or at least the creative portion of our brains. Yeah. I know that I try, you know, as we get older, we definitely tend to use our imaginations less. I mean, you know, you and I don't sit down on the couch and say, all right, Phil, fucking imagine right now we're in the Millennium Falcon and we're running away,
yeah,
you know, and do whole pretend time shit. That's not shit that we do anymore as adults.
Because your brain is so old and so set in its ways that it's not firing.
That's exactly
those...
what it gets into when they say that people of retirement age are less likely to have instances of deja vu because they are set in their daily ways.
It's only you're only using the parts of your brain that get you through the day through.
It's not even that. It's just a matter of if you're very dead set, if you have a very dedicated schedule, every single day I eat dinner at 5:30, every single day I do this at this time, every single day I do this at this time, blah, 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 and you do that for long enough, your brain is you know, process to, okay, this is my set schedule. So
the
ability
could
for
be
you
said,
to run into deja vu is significantly less because you're not doing things outside of that. So your brain's not processing new information.
Yeah, the same could be said for guys that are locked up in prison or, you know, fucking being in jail.
Sure.
You know, you do the same routine. I mean, granted, I've never been to prison, but I've been in jail long enough to go through the same
routine
for 3 months in a row and just be like, wake up, do that, like... It shuts off. I mean, it may be cliche to say that it's the creative part of your brain, but once you get set into a routine, it kind of shuts that part off. Where
to some
it's
degree,
just, you know, you're doing the same thing every day. It's kind of going through the motions, and you have no other outside stimulants to activate that other part of your brain.
Yeah.
You're stuck
That's
in the same routine doing the same thing.
That's definitely fair to say.
I don't know. Yeah. It may not really relate directly to deja vu, but
apparently it does.
Personal experience, I can say that I had no...
You ever had deja vu in prison?
No, I've never once had deja vu when I was locked up behind bars. Never once.
3 months is also not a long enough running time, but you know, people who travel more often, people who essentially process more new things outside of their daily schedule are more apt to do that. And I think that that goes into exactly what they were, you know, stating with the subconscious matching up this to that, where you get that eerie, offsetting feeling, unsettling feeling of, you know, I've done this before, or so on and so forth, when in all actuality, you haven't. There was an article about a kid who went to Europe for the first time right after college, and he stated that he got off the bus in like Italy, where he had never been before, and had the strangest feeling of deja vu. So that just kind of, you know, backs up
just
more
a
of
misfire.
The people who travel, people who are interpreting, you know, new things in their brain on a daily basis, imagination, you know, all those sorts of things. People are more apt in that situation to experience deja vu on a more consistent, not really consistent, but a more frequent basis. So that's all I have to say
it's,
about that.
The brain is a crazy thing to try to understand. So what
it
we
is.
Would like to convey to our listeners is
use
you know,
your fucking
just,
brain. You'll
yeah,
have more fun.
Keep your mind open. Don't get stuck in the same routine. Don't get stuck in a prison routine where you're doing the same thing all the time. You know, do other shit. Go outside. You know, do something that you think you would never be able to do. You know, go outside, ride a bike. You know, I mean, in my case, you know, as I didn't ride a bike for health or personal reasons or anything. I rode a bike for logistical reasons because I couldn't drive. But you see, it's just, it's changing the routine, basically, you know, is the whole deja vu. You know, you're talking about, well, people stuck in the same routine don't have deja vu. They don't have any of all that shit. It leads into, you know, getting stuck into one routine. You're only using one part of your brain. You're going through the same motions, doing the same shit every day.
Well, it's just memory at that point. So, as opposed to using, you know, I mean, your brain is always processing things as they happen, which is how we have a sense of reality and reality. And the only thing I was going to say was the opposite of deja vu is actually found most often, you know, like when you say something and it doesn't make sense anymore, or you're in a situation that you do so often that it still feels like the first time.
Like if I would say, yo, that shit is wiggity wiggity whack, yo.
Right, like something like that. Well, say that fucking 10,000 times and maybe it starts to not sound like what it is that you're trying to say. That's actually common, or I'm not going to say common, but is a noted trait of some schizophrenics. Same thing as, oh man, this one's fun, and this will be the last one before we end it.
I don't put very much weight into all that. Well, you know, some psychologist says, well, you're schizophrenic or you're psychopathic or, you know, whatever. I mean,
well, no. It's just
my issue I have with that
of delirious disorders. It's just noted that, hey, these people do it too. Not so much that anyone who does that means that you're fucking schizophrenic. It just means that it's noted that, hey, these people have been seen to do this maybe on a more intense level.
Yeah.
One of the things which I thought was really fucking crazy was the explanation of the Capgras delusion, in which a patient takes a person known by him or her for a false double or imposter.
That seems crazy. Like some schizophrenic shit.
That is.
Like if I showed up to your house and I thought you wasn't really you, like that would be some crazy shit. Yeah, no, at that point
I'd probably call somebody. Like, yeah, that shit would be like a kind of warning sign. Like,
if I went that far over the edge, it'd be time to put old Phil Dirt in a damn mental hospital.
No, that definitely is for sure. But that also goes to lead on to a quote that they indicate of stating that, you know, when you start to question reality of reality, so how real is the reality that you're personally facing, which I think that's a question more so brought up not only by schizophrenics, but it's funny that we share a trait with them, because people who, you know, is a very broad, generalized, cliched sort of term, but people who have opened up their third eye have absolutely, you know, these deep existential trips of how real is reality? How do I perceive it versus someone else?
Exactly.
And you get that third, or well, for all intents and purposes, you get that second perspective on life that you would never normally have.
That was going to be actually my next question is, have they, you know, people who have, you know, taken psychedelics, you know, what you said, open their third eye, is some people can look at it as being, oh, well, they're schizophrenic or they have these tendencies or
they just have, you know, the third eye permanently
doing
open.
All this. Yeah. Well, the thing is the doctor that is examining you, have they had their third eye open? Are they seeing the same thing, or are they seeing it from the outside and saying, well, this person is crazy, he has all this shit, or is this person really seeing the world for what it is?
Well, I think that even with the amount of, you know, things that I've done to enhance my mind and enhance my knowledge of reality, I think that I would even be able to point out a schizophrenic individual without an MD. You know what I mean?
There is. I mean, you know, you can kind of tell somebody who has gone too far and beyond. I mean, you know, I've known in my lifetime, I'm sure you have too, that one guy that took way too many hits of acid and he's just not there anymore and he's just completely gone.
Yeah.
Does that mean he's schizophrenic? Does that mean he's, you know, dysfunction?
He could very well display many of the traits of schizophrenic individuals.
Yeah, he could, but
it's an inability to fucking.
It's just a slippery slope. Reality.
Oh yeah,
trying to say, well, your mind is fucked up. Your mind is fucked
Maybe
up.
Maybe your mind's fucked up. You know what I mean?
You know, I mean, you can't. It's
It is a very slippery slope.
Pandora's box of something that nobody knows what's
something
going on.
Something that we would always have to side with is. And it's difficult because I know, you know, that there's definitely an argument to open up here, but we hopefully won't go into it too deeply. You know, as in basically just that, you know, the general populace, whether or not they've experienced any sort of psychedelics or anything of that nature, whatever they perceive as reality will be the undisputed fact of reality. So if 2/3 of the world's population indicates that this color is red, then that color has to be red. There needs to be some sort of basis for that. There needs to be some sort of judging point. And although you know, persons like you and I have a significantly more open mind that maybe would even go off the deep end and say that, well, 2/3 of the world's population is fucking brainwashed. Yeah. So how do we know that that's the truth either? How do we know that there's not either someone pulling the strings or it's just been a, you know, evolutionary step where everyone sees this thing as this thing, where in, you know, an alternate reality or a separate reality or in reality itself, it's not actually that thing.
Well, it's just kind of a stigma that people, you know, if you say, well, I've taken this psychedelic or that psychedelic or that psychedelic, people, there's a stigma that that's a bad thing, that there's something wrong with you, that your brain is not working right.
Well, it's not even that.
And people look down on you for that.
I wouldn't even take it as far as, I mean, yes, that very well may be the case, but it's a lot easier for individuals to brush off the subject if you indicate that, well, you know, I have done this drug and this is what I saw on it and well, blah, blah, blah. So it's immediately very easy for people, them to say, oh, well, it's drugs, so period.
I'm yeah, sorry. Exactly. That's my point. Yeah. People think, oh, well, you're crazy, you it's do just, drugs and all
much
that.
It's much easier to brush that issue off and brush that subject off.
You know what
off.
The beautiful thing that I'm looking forward to, though? The baby boomer generation will be dead in 20 years and we'll still be here. So all of that ignorant thinking and all of that, you know, straight-minded, you know, this is the way it has to be, and the ignorant not opening your mind and not, you know, thinking outside of the box, all of those people will be dead in 20 years.
But there's something scary about that, all right? So although that there is a lot of that in the baby boomer generation, you also have to think about what else came out of the baby boomer fucking generation. Our idea of think for yourself, question authority, that entire idea, well, and the opening of the consciousness.
Timothy Leary started to rip the divide as far as the baby boomer generation. So he was the outcast as far as the baby boomer generation.
Right,
people hated him,
but that was
because
still part of it. And we haven't had that since.
Well, no, there's no great awakening like there was in the 60s, like so, with Timothy Leary, like the great awakening, you know, let's be nice to each other. Let's not have war with each other. Let's create a peaceful environment where everybody can exist. That's the things that Leary preached. You know, acid, of course, LSD helped forward that thinking. But that's in human nature. It's just the way people get stuck in the rat race.
Right.
What can I do for myself? Right. What can I make myself better? And, you know, a lot of that is with the baby boomer generation, you know, with the old generation is going to die off. I mean, I may have false hope.
It's a double-edged sword, though. That's what I'm saying.
We had
the Great Awakening from that generation where people are still around who understand that sort of philosophy. And then on the flip side of it, we certainly do have the more uptight fucking, you know, individuals who were against that philosophy or took the preachings of drugs are bad, acid's evil, you'll turn into a fucking psychopath if you ever do any sort of hallucinogenic drugs. Yeah. That's gone too, but we don't have any sort of great awakening for any generation that is upcoming. We haven't had anything since fucking indicate that. So with baby boomers, they're dying off, which...
There's a whole new generation of the generation after ours that are dumber than the baby boomers.
Those kids are fucked. And we are fucked because at some point we will be old enough where they will be running shit. And then they'll be like, hey, all these assholes who are talking about fucking ideas, they're all fucking dying. Now we can just go to this.
Exactly. They're all so, fucking Twitter and Facebook and fucking Justin Bieber and all that shit.
We are at the cusp of a bittersweet situation where the baby boomers who have run things in ways that we sometimes disagreed with are dying off, but also the individuals who were around to experience this idea of the Great Awakening, you know, within America in regards to consciousness, in regards to behavior, in regards to all these things, they're also going out too.
Yeah.
So, well, like I said, it's bittersweet.
I feel like our listeners, our listening audience would be kind of in that same genre as the old going out and the new moving forward. And there's a lot of people who are of our generation who it just seems to me that everybody is just, you know, sitting back, oh, well, you know, that shit happens. There's nothing I can do about it, you know? And I'm in the same boat, you know? I mean, it is what it like. I never go to vote. I mean, your vote doesn't count. I don't, you know, it's, I don't do any of that shit.
We're very jaded.
Sitting back
generation.
And waiting. Yeah. It's pretty
We're
much
jaded,
a,
but the
yeah.
scary part is the generation coming up after us is just fucking dumb.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like Idiocracy happening. You like you're seeing the movie play out in front of your eyes
it's
in real life.
Because we were so fucking jaded that they took that jadedness for information and truth. So therefore, they're like, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter.
Well,
it's not about it doesn't matter at that point. They take all of our jadedness for fact, which sucks because we are fucked in 50 years.
Yep, I blame
without question.
I blame Al Gore and the internet.
And that,
that's
and
where I place all the blame.
That's full circle.
Yeah. That's, as we came around full circle. Game. So, Al Gore, the internet, polar bears, and the melting ice caps.
Yes.
That's the...
Al Gore lighting his farts on fire, melting the ice caps with the inner
with
tubes,
a Zippo lighter.
With a Zippo lighter. Yeah. And that will, of course, bring the New Level Studio podcast full circle. So, what I do have to say is thank you all for listening, as always.
In tune.
Absolutely.
It's really in-depth.
We're sorry that, you know, we did miss a month. We've been trying to be a little bit more on point, but... The good news is that I think that there's going to be even more happening sooner. We have some changes lined up for our website. We have some changes lined up for our hosting. We have some changes lined up for a lot of different things and also the frequency in which we do this. So like I will always say, and Phil always says, we want your feedback. We want to know what's going on. We want to know if you want more, less, whatever. Are we going to fucking listen to it? Probably not, but we do have a Facebook page, so we can at least field that feedback, and your feedback is very important to us. So,
at least mention George Villica Venenza. Not gonna work here.
Villica
anymore.
Not gonna work here anymore.
Yeah, George Villa not gonna work here anymore.
George's Corner may be coming back with a vengeance.
Yes,
so,
yes.
I hope that all of our listeners are amped for that, and there can be some goodness that will come out of that venture. But other than that, I would like to thank everyone for listening to our mindless babbling and opening up their third eyes and doing what it is that they need to do.
Throw it on Facebook. Anything you guys, I mean, you know, we always say this and nobody ever does it, but, you know, you may be listening to this at work. You may be listening to it at home. You may be listening while you're doing squat thrust with a onesie. With just the one strap over your shoulder, like a Russian workout artist.
Right now, and that turns me on.
Well, I'm hoping he's wearing a Speedo and nothing else.
Yes.
So if you're listening to this wearing a Speedo, go to Facebook and show us some love. Show us some hate. Do what
show
you gotta
do. Show us
some
love, yeah. But thank you all very much for sitting through another fucking fine episode of New Level Studio Podcast. We look forward to getting this out to the masses ASAP and also more to come. We will certainly let everyone know if we do make any drastic changes to our website, contact information, or anything of that nature through our Facebook. So if y'all are followers, I see that we got a lot of likes. That definitely makes us happy. We hope that we
it makes
you
me
happy.
It's like... When I'm sitting at the house and I'm doing my extracurricular activities.
Are you producing?
I'm producing on the internet, and I have the New Level Facebook on a second tab, so I see it flash and it just enhances the experience.
I like that.
So at least do it for your old pal Phil Dirt.
Do it for Phil Dirt, the dirt wizard himself. Anyway, thank you all very much for listening, and we hope that you have a good night. Say good night, Phil.
Good night, Phil.